The Miami Grand Prix, sun, celebrities, safety cars, turning races on their heads. Max Verstappen takes his third win of the season in dominant fashion. Welcome back to episode 193 of the Formula One Grid Talk podcast. And today we're here to discuss the Miami Grand Prix. My name is Owen Medford, and joining me we have Carl King from the Monkey Seat podcast.
Hello.
James Tiller from Everything F1.
Hey.
And making his Grid Talk debut is Warren Shaw from the Paddock Pals F1 podcast.
How's it going?
Before we get into the show, if you enjoy this podcast, we would love it if you could take five to leave us a five-star rating on Spotify or a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll shout out all of you who do to say thanks. And if you're one of the 69% of people who aren't yet subscribed to the channel, please consider helping us out with a like and subscribe. So as I mentioned earlier, obviously it was a dominant win for Max Verstappen, taking his Red Bull from third on the grid to a slightly tumultuous and a little bit tricky win, but ultimately it ended up looking easy by the end of it. I just want to go to you, Warren, first. Obviously it's the first race of two this year in America, and I'm going to get sort of an American's perspective on the race and what you sort of thought of it and where you think this could take F1, with obviously the sort of drive to survive level of interest that's now been generated after last year. Do you think this is sort of a kickstart, a hockey stick moment for F1 to go off the charts?
I think so. So I was at the race in Austin last year, and I thought last year was like the Kickstarter of it, because there were, I think, 400,000 people there over the weekend, 140,000 for the race. And that was like, okay, this is the big time. But then Miami's Miami. This was off the charts Miami, off the charts America. Like, they could have, everything about America is branded and everything. Like, they could have branded so much more stuff. Like, I mean, I thought they could have, I was joking that they're going to have next year, like, the DRS zones are going to be sponsored by like Miller Lite, Bud Light, beer. Like, they're going to figure out a way to get more money in this America stuff. But no, I think this is a big thing. This is like the Kickstarter, obviously Vegas next year. I will say, I think Vegas is going to make Miami look like nothing when it comes to the celebrities and everything. But yeah, I think this is going to be a kickoff. I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed that they're not there. I'll tell you what, a bunch of athletes I follow on Instagram, they were there. And I think when they show and a bunch of influencers were there, you see like, oh, this looks really cool. Like, people are going to, what is that? What is that? Maybe they'll get to it. But yeah, no, I think this is going to be a big, even a more of a Kickstarter going forward. I could say one thing. So we were talking earlier about the Sky broadcast. So 3:30 Eastern time on Sunday afternoon is like main NBA, the main NBA slot, and they always put it on ABC, which is over the network air. This for today, they had an NBA game at 3:30. They put that to cable and put the F1 race instead of the NBA game that would normally be on over the air, so everybody could see it. So the F1 took, they, Disney and ABC decided, hey, we want the Miami Grand Prix on over the NBA game on our network, which I thought was a pretty substantial move that I don't think like 3 years ago would have happened at all.
Yeah, that's actually really interesting. I had no idea. That's obviously a huge, a lot more eyeballs on F1, which is excellent for us to see, because obviously we love F1. But also, you know, I kind of feel bad for them actually, because up until about the first two-thirds of the race, it was a little bit boring. It was starting to peter out, and then it got flipped on its head, really, didn't it, Carl? With obviously, I believe it was, yeah, Pierre Gasly making a mistake, having an issue, and
I don't quite know. Obviously, Pierre, there was something, I think he had something wrong with his steering or something. That's what it sounded like and looked like. And then obviously, he pulling out, and he obviously didn't look to his left at all, and Lando just went skidding into him. But I don't think even Lando really knew what happened either, because he was apologizing initially there. I think it did flip it on its head, but I don't think it flipped it on its head as much as everyone almost wanted to. The restart was pretty tame in the end, and it didn't have that jeopardy. And yes, there was a bit of a Leclerc Verstappen fight that happened there, but I don't think once it's Ferrari has to get Verstappen in the first three laps, otherwise it's game over because Verstappen pulls away. So unless there is a safety car in the last three laps of a race like this at the moment, Leclerc is never going to take. We're never going to win a race against Verstappen, who's going to last into the final. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Red Bull have managed to, you know, as Christian Horner said earlier in the season, managed to take a unreliable car and make it a fast unreliable car and make it reliable, rather than take an unreliable car and make it fast.
Which is what Ferrari have. They've got a very reliable car there, and a very good car, but it's not fast. It has its moments of being in the corners, but it's not straight line fast.
Yeah, it's just that 5% off, I guess, if we were to put it in percentage terms. James, do you think
it's 12 miles off? It's 12 extra miles. It's DRS off. That's exactly what it is. You open the DRS and the Red Bull's still going.
James, do you think the sort of balance of the season is starting to, I know it's early doors, obviously, and it's going to change before we get back to, you know, back to European soil. But do you think it's starting to tip towards Max Verstappen at this point? Obviously, it was a very strong start for Shell, but it's just starting to move. The needle's moving away at this point, would you say?
Yeah, it is. It's worrying, actually, I'll be honest. If it wasn't for Red Bull's unreliability, where would they now be in the championship? I think they'd probably be in the lead. Obviously, we know that Ferrari is a quick car. It's not as quick as the Red Bull, as Carl's just mentioned, especially on the straights. It's good at cornering. And it's got two fantastic drivers in. You've got Carlos Sainz and Charles Leclerc. I think if Red Bull hadn't had those two, to DNS for Max, I know this is like ifs and buts and what you can't really say this sorts of things, but... I'd hate to think how one-sided the championship would be at this point. But we're fortunate it's not that way at the moment. And hopefully that means that it's given Ferrari the buffer it needs to kind of sort out that speed. Maybe they can work on it and find some upgrades. But I did watch the interview with Christian Horner. I'll get the right person. It's late here. I watched the interview with Christian Horner after the race, and he said, you know, we've got a quite a big upgrade package coming later in the year. That kind of makes you think, wow, that could be... Obviously, I know every team's going to have an upgrade package, but if the fastest car of the year is getting an upgrade, that's going to be substantial for them as well. So it's catch-up time for Ferrari. They've got that buffer. Hopefully that buffer is enough to keep them in the lead, or at least... keep them level pegging before they bring their own upgrades in, basically.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's sort of it could get very, very boring very, very quickly.
It could be one sided. Could be Mercedes 2016 to 2021 again, but for Red Bull instead. But let's hope not. I think these cars have proven is, you know, that the concept is a good concept. The cars can follow each other. They can, you know, put them in positions to overtake. So I'm hoping, you know, with the development coming from both sides, all teams are going to be developing. Hopefully, it can at least two teams can stay in contention throughout the whole season.
Yeah, of course, and I think it's going to ebb and flow. I think that's only going to be natural. Someone else's performance actually sort of ebbed and flowed was Charles Leclerc, Warren, who. You know, as has been said, you know, looked fairly racy at the start of the race, petered off towards the middle, but you know, really seemed to come back at Max Verstappen, if not for just dropping out the DRS range towards the final few laps. That's sort of heartening in some way, not heartening, I guess, but like encouraging in some ways to see that he could stay so close, even though, you know, he had a couple of laps older tyres, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I think for sure. I think where I thought that he kind of might have lost it, his big chances, I can't remember what lap it was. Maybe they're like four laps ago. When they were going under like the overpasses, he took a lot of curb on that one, you could see. And he just kind of, I thought that's where he kind of lost the real attack there, maybe But yeah, no, I think it's Harding. He's obviously, he's not going to back down. He's going to try and go as much as he can. But as you guys have been saying, they just don't have the straight line speed. And he got a second chance pretty much with the safety car. He tried to make the most of it. He just came up a little bit short. I don't think that that's anything you can hang your hat on. He's got the talent. I don't know. He just doesn't have the speed of the car right now in the straight line. I think that's a little, it's just like, as you guys have been saying, it's Red Bull has the fastest car and he's doing what he's doing out there. He's driving well. It's just like, all right, he's kind of got a hand tied behind his back.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's kind of odd to see, personally. I always remember the days when Ferrari used to be the fastest in a straight line, and it didn't matter what year it was. Mm-hmm. That didn't really sort of seem to matter for Carlos Sainz, who I think most people would have said was going to be swallowed up, particularly in the last portion of the race, by Sergio Perez, Carl. But the kind of performance that he showed, is that a sort of resurgence for Carlos?
Do you know what? I think it wasn't so much a resurgence for Carlos, but a failing on Perez. I think that was more the issue there, was that Perez didn't chase him down enough. And Sainz was lonely in the middle there, just floating around. He couldn't keep up with Leclerc and Verstappen, was 17 seconds behind or something, was it, at one point? He was floating around. 7 seconds behind, sorry. He was floating around and just wasn't, you know, being in no man's land on his own, had a quite a lonely race. And even when he did have some company, Perez just couldn't put it past him. So I don't think it was Sainz being amazing. I think it was Perez being possibly a bit rubbish in some ways.
Poor Perez.
Yeah, I just want to, I'm going to move on to Perez because I'll kind of go around the room a bit, but I think that would have been you look at that for the last few years, you'd say, right, so he's got three guys ahead of him who are on, what, 20 lap old tyres, something like that. Sergio Perez gets a brand new set of, I think, mediums, and then doesn't manage to pass them. I know the circuit layout is somewhat prohibitive to doing that.
Yeah, but you've got to remember also he had that the sensor 5 failure that he had to turn off, which Christian Horner claims would have dropped them around about 20 kilowatts per hour speed deficit to the front, so to the cars in front. So yeah, he didn't perform great, but he damaged limitations. He got where he needed to be. He couldn't overtake. Obviously, he did try to I can't remember what corner he did. But he just had to be, you know, there to swallow as many points as he could for the team. Really. It can't be helped when you do have those sorts of mechanical failures. I'm sure he's hoping that's something that they can clear up by the next race, certainly.
This is engineers, though, they've got the problem because Checo is constantly going, look at my timings! Look at my timings!
No,
everything's fine, Checo. Everything's fine. Just like, I'm slowing down.
It's the toe. No, I'm nowhere near anyone. I know. Oh, yeah. That was embarrassing.
Someone informed the engineers what's going on.
They should listen to their driver. He was spot on. There was clearly a mistake. Clearly a fault with the car. Sorry. And after looking, they worked out what it was. They told him to fail that sensor, but that meant he lost obviously a lot of power. So he was probably outperforming what the ability of the car was, given the fact that they lost 20 kilowatts per hour or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Yeah. I'd have thought, personally, my thinking was with the straight line speed advantage they had, they could probably lose the 25 kilowatts or 30 horsepower or whatever and be fine with it. But apparently not. I'm not a Formula One driver, it seems.
He's the Mexican Minister of Defense, not offense. So that's what he did today. He just had to sit there.
Either argument still puts signs still not that being that great, you know, and not actually doing anything useful and just being a bit mediocre in the middle there.
He'll get on. He'll get in that car later in this year. Come on, Carlos. I believe in you, man.
I really do. I wish he would, because I really like Carlos. I'd definitely be a supporter of him. I just feel like he just wasn't all there today for some reason.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely.
He did.
Oh, sorry.
He looked just I was going to say, all the drivers, but him especially, looked just worn out from the whole race. Like, you're at the end, he was just like, I mean, he really looked like, out of all the drivers, they showed, like, the most worn out, like, out physical by the race today.
I mean, yeah, these temperatures are really hot, aren't they? Sorry, Owain, I'm butting in again. I do apologize. These temperatures are really hot. It kind of takes you back to kind of like, you know,
Singapore
type hotness. But I mean, that's a night race. What about Malaysia? If you can think back that far, I'm old enough to know and to have witnessed
the last. Not that young. It's 2017. That's the last time it was on the calendar.
Well, you know, for the drive to survive fans that are watching.
I'll tell you, the Austin race last year was like 90 degrees. It was swelter. It was so hot. It was. I mean, I can tell you, it was hot for a late October there. 90s sun. It was bad.
Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of. It's a similar track actually. It's sort of in layout of not in layouts, I guess, but in sort of terms of corners and what you have to do. So it's no wonder that everyone looked a bit sort of worn out, I guess, after the race. We've moved down into sort of the best. I can't believe I'm calling Mercedes best of the rest, but I think it's just indicative of their season. Better than they would have hoped based on the last race, with George Russell coming in fifth and Lewis Hamilton in sixth. I mean, we saw sort of a bit of a battle between those two on track, Warren. That's kind of, you know, do you think is that indicative of things to come, or is that just, you know, that those two are having a bit of a fight while they can?
I hope it's a sign of things to come. I'll tell you what, I think George must be sitting on a horseshoe every race. I think he's been the luckiest driver so far on the grid. Every time he's begging for a safety car, he gets something out there. And look, credit to him, like they're hoping for it, they get it. But man, he has been so lucky, and I actually like that they let them race. I did think it was funny when they were doing the team radio, like Lewis was like, oh, George is going to pass me pretty easily. They had a nice little battle. That was fun to see. But, yeah, I hope it's something they can see. I think that we need them to get up there to make things a little more interesting. If you get a three-team fight, that would everybody would like to see that instead of two, add more to the bunch. But, yeah, hopefully we see some more racing between them. And I just think George, he had the better strategy. He got lucky. That's what it ended up being.
Yeah, 100%. 12th on the grid to fifth place. Lewis Hamilton not so great, obviously, and he'll be ruining that. Started in the same place he finished, and was obviously a bit dejected in the interview. Do you think it was? But yeah, do you think he was a bit sort of unprofessional with the way there were those outbursts on the radio? It sort of gives me flashbacks to back in sort of 2009, 2010, when it wasn't going so well for Lewis in the McLarens.
I will say I wasn't watching F1 in 2009, 2010, so I cannot say that. But I will say, to me, it seems like Lewis, they all complain on the radio, but it seems like Lewis this year in particular has maybe brought that complaints up a little bit. Maybe that's me. I don't know. But it seems like he's been complaining about strategy a lot this year. And maybe it's unprofessional, if you want to call it. I don't know. I think it's just him seeing he hasn't been consistently beaten. And he's seeing that George is pulling out better results than him, and he's in a new position right now, and he's trying to figure out how to cope with George getting better results lately, and he's having a tough time doing that. So if that means complaining about strategy on the radio, he's going to do that. I think that's what it comes down to.
I think we've got to forgive kind of comments made at however 200 and whatever miles per hour that they're traveling. You know, the adrenaline's pumping, they're going to be upset, they're going to be annoyed. You know, you've heard it in the first couple of races with Max Verstappen. He sounded stressed, you know, in the first couple of races. He was really having a go down the radio. You got to forgive that sort of thing. At the speeds that they're traveling, in the middle of, you know, fights with their competitors, they're going to say things that aren't necessarily... Oh,
bearing in mind these are in context as well, and they're little tiny snippets which Sky have chosen, the broadcast feed has chosen. And, you know, and we had, everyone was complaining about Max last year, you know, and it was his little temper tantrums. You know, now it's going to be Hamilton because he's now not the flavour of the month because he's not you know, the going for his eighth championship or whatever it is, you know, we are going to have that as well. He's the underdog, and the underdog's always going to be a bit snappier.
Agreed. And you got to forgive him that, I think.
Yeah.
Let them have a whinge. Who cares? I don't even think it was such a harsh whinge today. He's like, yeah, you know, I was really unlucky with the strategy today. That's not really a whinge. That's a put his stated fact there. You know, the strategy sucked for him because the late kind of virtual safety car, and then Russell called it. He said, you know, let's eat these tyres out as much as we could. Fair play to him. You know, you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, it's probably just uncharacteristic for Lewis Hamilton to be losing so much right now.
Yeah.
Finishing just behind him, we have Valtteri Bottas, who, in my opinion, threw away what was going to be quite a good result, Carl.
yeah. I don't know if he... He binned it, you know, and just let the Mercs through, which ironically was the Mercs behind him, which I found hilarious. Of all the cars that could have been behind him, the two.
I reckon he heard Valtteri, it's James over the radio. Like, yeah. Just phantom, he just like thought he heard it.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Coming through. I think it was an innocent mistake. He was fighting quite hard, and he just came off the line slightly, and those marbles just took him literally. It must be feel like you actually are on proper marbles, you know, and a load of BBs, you know, just rolling around on that track once you're off the main line there. They were saying I couldn't quite work out, and I don't think anyone else can work out, whether it's the track, whether it's the tire deck, why things aren't being taken off, and why this track is worse than any other. But either way, I think it was a tiny little accident, and bearing in mind quite a few people, and there was quite a few yellow flags that got thrown out and then instant greens as people did slide off the track in random places. I just think he just got caught with the timing and the two cars he had behind him. Unfortunately, I think Bottas is on a great streak at the moment, and I think he's actually, it's really invigorated him going to Alpha, and I think it's a really good thing. And he's almost, not if he was young, you'd be saying he's one to watch for the future, if that makes sense. You could sort of, you can always go, oh my god, this guy's got potential, he's just not in the right car. The irony there. But you know, if he was Joe or something, you'd be like, yeah, but Joe, you know, but he didn't have the support of Joe as well, not that he overly has it with when he's out there, so I don't think that helped either.
Yeah, exactly. I just didn't end up going his way, and obviously just there to pick up the pieces were his old teammates.
Yeah. Well, his old teammate and the guy that took his job. Yeah.
That's going to be a kick in the teeth, that. But he looked like he was coming back. So, you know, I take your point. Yeah. It's sort of
a force of habit, maybe.
So the 44 is just like, better pull over. Someone who didn't pull over all race was Esteban Ocon, who has gone from a cracked chassis. He's sort of managed to...
And a cracked neck and cracked body, supposedly. I'm not even quite sure what happened to him.
That I hadn't quite heard about. But James, he's managed to get it to eighth place, which is, you know, 4 points. And he's finished ahead of his... Let me say it again. Two-time world champion, Fernando Alonso, finishing behind Esteban Ocon, who didn't have a... You know, who had a fairly normal sort of qualifying appearance, basically.
Yeah, first, I want to comment about that barrier. I mean, you've got drivers complaining before the race, you know, we need to sort this barrier out. It's a concrete barrier. And we've had a 51G impact from Ocon, which is the same G-force levels as Max Verstappen took in Silverstone. And then the FIA are like, no, it's fine. Go and race there. It's not going to be a problem. And you've got all these drivers complaining. I really do think, and I'm shocked that Formula One didn't do anything about it, the FIA.
I think there was a reason.
That's my little mini protest.
I think there was a reason with that. Like, if you put tech for a barrier out, you would have had to put it so far around because of the way they angle that thing. Otherwise, you're just going to have a point within the tech bar, which is going to cause more trouble.
Yeah,
than actually, and that was their underlying. I think that was the FIA's underlying issue. You would have then had to bring it around the corner, and that then the previous corner would have been very tight.
Yeah, it would have tightened up the whole track. Obviously, it's a full kind of remodel, but there's certainly
next year. Absolutely, yeah,
they need to sort it out.
You know, it should have been thought about beforehand.
Is there would have had to have been a remodel an excuse when you've just built this track from scratch?
Yeah, but people don't think, you know, when you're building a house, you don't quite think of where the plug sockets are going to go until you live in that house for a while and suddenly realize everything's in the wrong place. Yeah. You know, it's sometimes you need to. It's like a rookie driver, you know, putting a rookie driver into a car and sending them off going, yeah, you're grand, you're a driver. You know, you've still got, it's a rookie track and we need to know how this track works to make it safe. But there's no test races there. It's not like that's the problem with these street races. There's no test races to be really trying out where the issues are.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, he managed to come into the race and he had a good race. I can't remember many manoeuvres from him, and I'll apologise for that. Maybe I just blinked and missed it because obviously the action was very few and far between, let's be honest, for the majority of the race. So it's great that he was there. I can't really say anything amazing about him, but I'm impressed that he picked himself up, dusted himself off after that accident, and managed to get ahead of the two-time world champion Fernando Alonso.
I'll be honest, I'm assuming he probably profited off a safety car and the sort of that long run strategy on the hard seeming to pay off, because it did look like there were tyre warm-up issues on it, but it did last once you got it going. We've got Fernando Alonso then in ninth place, who was a bit in the wars, I think. I can't really tell you because the TV direction was all over the place. But
yeah. Couldn't wear that, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's made it to ninth place for him, which is obviously good for Alpine's prospects in the standings, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm a part of that. We're seeing those jokes, right? Land jokes. I feel like, is it me? It feels like the Alpine, he really gave up in Australia, but it seems like he could get a lot more out of the car. Maybe it's just to say, like, oh, we could eat. I'm just thinking of the Australian, he could have gone 30, but all this, and he crashed in qualifying, it was all that. It seems like to me he got a little bit more out of it. But ninth, I guess, looks fine. He's in the midfield. He's always going to attack. It's just, anytime I think he gets points, it's obviously that they're having a double. But I just to the talk of, like, he can, maybe he's going to crack the top something. Just top, maybe, like, podium. I don't know. It's not, I would like to see him do it. It's just maybe. Maybe I'm hearing the wrong things. I don't know.
Yeah, I lost you a little bit there because of the internet connection. I'm really sorry. But yeah. Nice.
Sorry about that.
Oh, it's honestly, no, don't worry. It's not your fault. It's a little bit late and I think everything's sort of clapping out a little bit here. But yeah, ninth place, obviously fairly good for Fernando Alonso. Afterwards, we have Swam sort of redeeming themselves and I think getting Williams some of their best most recent points finishes to date. Is Alex Albon, after a year out, Carl, it seems to have managed to get him all the way up to 10th place.
Do you know what, Albon, I hated Albon. I'm still not the biggest fan of Albon, but I hated Albon. He never knew how wide his sodding car was, and he drove me sodding mental. Not last season, the season before. I'm famously on record many times slating the poor lad. And the fact the man thinks that dyeing your hair is going to give you points just proves how wacko he is.
It worked, didn't it?
It worked, which is even more annoying. Yeah, it worked. So I think, do you know what happened? I think he went away. He needed to get out of that Red Bull pen of hell. Take the year out, and I think him training up Yuki Tsunoda, who I couldn't even tell you if he was in this race or not, but him training up Yuki gave him the guidance himself. And I think it was probably the best idea. Sometimes you learn, but as they say in the medical field, isn't it? See one, do one, train one. You know, he's seen one, he's done one, he's trained one, and you know, and he suddenly becomes a better person because of it. And I think he's really progressing. And the Williams car isn't the shit wagon that it was last year. So I think we're progressing. I think Williams is progressing. Latifi can just go and do one as well. But I think Albon can drive. I don't think he's the greatest driver. He's never going to win a world championship. He'll barely win a race, even if he was in the right car. James wants to say something, I can tell.
Yeah, but I like Albon personally. I'm an Albon kind of. I'm not going to say like super fan.
Is it because he's English? Albon,
yeah, well, that's my, it's my British English. Bias, but you know, British Thai bias.
Yeah,
He was just very lucky today, wasn't he? That Mick and Sebastian came together. Let's be honest. It wasn't through kind of him getting to that position himself. There was other things at play.
I think you could say that about quite a few. About any, the thing is with that whole middle field, it will always be about the way the cards land, because it's such an open field, that middle field, and the fact that Williams is in that middle field, obviously there was the issues and the way the cards fell ahead of him. But he was in the right place at the right time. It was like Ocon getting the win last year. You know, it was being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, like I say, I'm not taking away from him, but he was very, very fortunate that the two Germans decided to give each other a bit of a love kiss. And you could just tell the disappointment of Sebastian Vettel when it was that.
Why him? Anyone but him?
They're certainly not going to be playing football in the paddock today. They're going to have you know, a couple of days off where they can reassess their friendship and come back stronger, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Just outside the points, we've got Lance Stroll, who... Did he do anything?
I felt sorry for Stroll. And I'll tell you, hang on. Just outside the point. This guy's just outside the point. He started in the pits, for starters. He should have been sixth on the grid. Originally, do you know what? Stroll had a blind of a weekend. I know he's just out of the point. I hate the idiot as well. He's on my hate list. But fair play on him. I have to give him credit where it's credit due. He didn't do anything, but he did a lot better than he normally does.
I agree. I think he had a good weekend. Had they have warmed that fuel up a little bit better before the race, I think it would have been a much more different situation. But you know, these things happen, as you say. And but he did well from coming from the back.
I'll be honest, I'm still in awe that Aston Martin managed to mess up a thermostat. I won't be taking them to do my air conditioning recharge.
Oh, have you got the spare Aston in the garage, Aaron?
All right. No, I've got four. I don't even have a Ford, but that joke would have worked 20 years ago. Yeah, I take your point. They had to start from the pit lane, and that's fairly good for Lance Stroll. And you know what? He didn't bid it into anyone, and that, to be honest, with that pit lane exit and that start, I think is actually quite a it's actually quite an achievement.
Yeah.
I can't remember who I got round to at this point. Yuki Tsunoda. As far as I could tell, he didn't really do anything, but he did cause problems for someone during the race, but I don't really remember who.
I don't think we saw it. I think that was part of the problem. I don't think even the Sky Crofty knew who Tsunoda was causing problems for.
Yeah, 12th place, pretty good. Better than Gasly. Used his mirrors when people did go past him. that's Yuki Tsunoda. He's improving. It looks like he's getting into a more sort of more stable finisher. He just needs a couple more people to crash out in front of him, I guess.
He's a lot calmer on the radio this year. which, you know.
I don't know. You didn't watch Friday practice then, did you?
No, I didn't. You're right, actually.
During
the race, then, when it counts.
Yeah, just during the race. I was going to say, Friday practice, for anyone who missed it, Yuki Tsunoda was asked how the car was. You know, bearing in mind that this is big change for F1, big year. Got to be developed in the car. Got to get the setups right so you can obviously do well in the races. And was asked, how was the car doing? And he said, shut up, just let me drive. That's not great, personally, I'd say.
In practice, the time
when you can develop the car and change the setup and do things to make it better, rather than, you know, maybe if he was, I don't know, holding off Daniel Ricciardo just behind him, I could forgive him that. But in practice, I kind of think that smacks of unprofessionalism, to be honest. Speaking of, we got Daniel Ricciardo, who was in the wars, I think, of a little bit. Wasn't doing so great, and has only come home 13th, which is kind of not the place for. Who are they? McLaren. That's McLaren.
He had a great start. He made three places up at the start. Looked like he was being impressive, and then obviously fell off later in the race.
Something happened to him. What happened to him? I can't remember. Something happened to him. There must have been something, but I can't remember what it was. I can't. It's too late for this.
Warren, do you know? Did anything happen to him?
No, I don't know. I don't remember even really seeing him out there. I just saw he's in 13th. There he is. We do a second hard things. I forgot you existed. I didn't really realize he was. Maybe he was. Did he get punished from the safety car in the strategy? I can't remember.
That's entirely possible. He probably did.
I'm gonna have to watch the highlights to work it out.
Yeah, what happened to Ricciardo? That's the big question.
Maybe some of our watchers could comment on the live stream.
I don't know.
Going to give us a hint.
Please help us.
We've given up.
It's late. It's late. And we didn't see it. And I think that there's nothing more that you can be good. You can be a good racer. You can have a great race, or you can have a bad race. You can't have a bland race. That's worse than anything else.
Yeah. An unmemorable race is not going to win us.
Speaking of, you know what? I'm happy to say that Nicholas Latifi is classified in 14th and not in a barrier.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing, Carl?
Wow. Well done. Well done, Latifi. You got round the whole track and you actually didn't bin it. Is this the first time this season he's done that?
I think it might be. Hold on.
That's worrying me. It might be. He's actually finished. So now he's a proper classified racer then. But yeah, that's mad. He nearly caused a bit of a ruckus at one point, or was involved in. Who was it? There was the Magnussen, the Tiffy, something. Oh, when Lando came out of the pits.
Yeah.
And there was that sort of little ruckus that was going on. And bless him, he tried. He's the boy that tried, but he never does. Bless him. He's got to go. He's got to go this year.
He has. These rumors have got to come to fruition. It's got to be a mid-season swap.
It doesn't matter how big Daddy's money is. Watching yourself go around and fail and hit into walls is not going to gain any advantages.
The damage that he's actually, racking up, the bills that he's racking up, must go over the amount that he's paying into the team. Mm. They're not a massive sponsor, Lavazza. You know, Dorilton Capital, they've got so much money. They're not going to think, you know, oh, the 30 million that, you know, Nicholas Latifi's dad's putting into this drive for his son. Mm. He must have racked up 5 million of that himself in accidents at least this year already, if not more. Piastri. Bring Piastri in.
Yeah, Piastri doesn't come with any money, I don't think.
Alpine would probably say, here you go, he's a couple of quid. Give our young driver a year or so in your team. Teach him the ways of the force, and then bring him into.
Piastri and Albon. I don't think they have ever raced together, but I think they would be a good team.
Yeah,
you know, teammates. I think Albon will have enough of a level head And we know that Albon is a good teacher because we saw that with Tsunoda. And I think that will actually enhance Albon's driving himself, having a rookie below him and not Latifi. Imagine being Latifi's teammate. I think that's worse than being Latifi.
I mean, Latifi's still not ahead of Hulkenberg. Just look at the change of standings. He's still, Hulkenberg is still ahead of him. Now, I don't know how they do it. No points. Is it highest finish on the season? But he's still behind Hulkenberg. He's 21st. He's 21st.
21st in a 20-car.
20-car race. Brilliant.
Come on.
Oh, he is.
Oh, yeah, because he finished 13th or something, didn't he?
Yeah, I can't Hulkenberg. Remember when he got wrong. It doesn't
mean... Oh, no, Hulkenberg finished two races, wasn't it, as well?
Yes, he would have.
So he's got to finish ahead of him twice, I think.
He finished two races, I think.
Oh, goodness, wow.
Get Hulkenberg in.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, he should have been there compared to some of the people. He should have been there before Mazepin.
I'm going to say I disagree with you there. I love Nico Hulkenberg, but he had his shot. Bring in someone young. Piastri, this is what I'm saying. Piastri.
Oh, yeah, but this is like even... sorry, I'm talking 2 years ago when he should have been in and stayed in.
Maybe had another year. Maybe.
Next down the order, we're now into the steps of people who lost bits off their car. we have Mick Schumacher throwing it up the inside of Sebastian Vettel.
I mean, the boy's got balls, hasn't he?
Is it bravery or is it stupidity? Because was that ever going to be on? Like that move. I mean, we saw it just about work if you managed to sort of slightly outbreak yourself, but not so much that it went into the blue bit over the end of the track. Carl,
the problem is it had worked beforehand.
I was going to say, but was it to me? It looked like a disappearing wedge. And Vettel was always going to turn in, and then the radio call of that was my corner. I get the point of it being in the heat of the moment, but I don't think that was ever on. And all it's done is probably, you know, slightly fractured a quite good relationship between the two drivers, I thought.
Yes.
That was my thinking. No one? Okay, right. I guess I should have dropped that off to someone at least, but...
Yes.
It's not really a good look for a Haas, you know, for an American car on home soil, sort of. To be dumping it on the inside of a four-time world champion and then complaining that well it's your fault instead.
Who they're meant to be, yeah, friendly and supportive of each other. So yeah.
I see it as more of Sebastian's fault, actually, personally, but
really? I'm intrigued. Why?
Well, I suppose that he wouldn't have anywhere to go, I'm guessing, James.
What? Do you know what? Now you're questioning it. At the time, I was like, "Yeah, this is definitely Sebastian's fault here." But I think it was. I think it was Sebastian's fault. I don't know why, but watching it live, when I watched it, I thought to myself, "That's more Sebastian's fault than it is."
I suppose there's nowhere for him to go about Sebastian to go, and he's going on that line, and that's the obvious line. And then you don't throw up the edge. You know, if someone's indicating to go left, you don't throw up the edge. You know, and it was obvious he was going to go around there. You wouldn't go up the inside of him. You know,
we'll say yes. We'll say that is the case. But I saw it at the time. I remember thinking at the time, and I can't remember now. So because it is, you know, nearly half twelve or quarter past 12.
Oh Jesus, it's past midnight.
Quarter past midnight in the UK where we're doing this. So I've turned off half of my brain now because it's already in hibernation mode or something.
Gridlock is not looking so great. I don't think they're going to let us do this one again. But yeah, okay, fair enough. I'm willing to take that point. I thought it was Mick's fault. Apparently, You know what? I'd have to have a look at it again. I'm not.
We'll watch the highlights and find out who is right and who is wrong.
We'll edit in. Yeah. After that, we've got Kevin Magnussen, and who has somehow managed to get a DNF, and I don't know how.
This is going really well.
I'm sorry, but he's in 16th place. He's completed 56 laps, and it just says DNF, and I don't know who he's hit.
Wasn't it at the end?
He got black and white flags. Didn't he get black and white flags at the end?
No, someone drove into him at the end, I think. I'm trying to think who. Or am I thinking something else?
God, we only
had... There was some incident on the last lap.
Yes, there was.
Over an hour.
There was. Who was it? It was...
And they came off much better, and they finished the race.
Yes. Oh, who was it? I can't remember, but there was something on the last lap.
Yes.
Because that was the yellow flag on the last lap. No, the pole ultimate lap. There was a yellow flag.
I just need to work out in my brain who that was that did it. Someone sent it up the inside and basically didn't turn. Oh, do you know what? I commented about it in my chat. Let me see.
Work out who it is.
I love this. This is really great. Oh, I'm going to get flamed for this.
Yeah.
This is almost like a Monkey Seat podcast, Owain. It's a bit messier than the whole bit.
I'll be honest. Maybe. You know what?
No, there you go. K-Mag himself drove straight into Stroll. Stroll came off and was fine, but K-Mag.
That's it.
There you go. That's why the DNF happened.
I'm crying with laughter. Brilliant.
You know what? Then Stroll has done incredibly well to get 11th place after being hit by K-Mag. That's what we've said.
On the last lap, he just didn't turn. Didn't turn the corner.
We can't be praising Stroll anymore.
So, yeah, we can. You know what the worst part is? I've just thought to myself, I remembered an hour ago, over an hour ago now, thinking, you know what? That is the second time that a Haas has run into an Aston Martin today. I should have remembered that. But apparently I didn't, because it's boring. Luckily, we've got people that we do know what happened to them. Pierre Gasly. Kind of an awful race for him, really. It was going so well, and then he just got a little bit offline onto the sort of dusty, marbly, slightly gritty, bitumin-y stuff. On the outside of turn four, he comes back onto the track, Warren, and completely takes out Lando Norris. Now, we've talked about it a little before, but he was having a good race up until then, was Pierre, and it's made the race a lot more exciting, but you know, how's he managed that?
Did it not seem to you like he had an engine issue or something? Like, he just slowed down a lot. Like, I know he went wide, but it also seemed like he came on the radio and he said, I have a problem or something. And he just fired it up or something. It seemed like he was having an issue. And then he just, all right, I'm going to drive again. And I let the other two guys by. And here comes Lando. He doesn't see him. And yeah, just, I was confused the whole situation of why it seemed like he almost came close to a stop and was there an issue there. And then he just clearly did not see Lando. And that credit to him for being able to at least, well, how many more laps did he finish? A lap or two on that? But I mean, I think there was something with his car before that was a problem and he fixed it.
Yeah, but he was talking on the radio, wasn't he?
Didn't they say that?
I think I heard him say something about he's lost his steering on the radio.
And he went deep in that turn. And I think he was talking at the same time as obviously... Yeah, troubleshooting and not necessarily paying attention to who was coming up on the inside of him, and they said both Lando and Pierre said that kind of turn does kind of give you a little kick at the end that you're kind of half expecting. Obviously, you know, once you've done several laps on it, but because of all those different things that the lack of concentration was there, and maybe just didn't even check his mirrors to see that Lando was in that position. And you know, as a not so secret McLaren fan, it's horrible to see that happen to Lando, but it did at least make the last few laps of the race interesting.
Yeah. McLaren had a bit of a shit time today, didn't they?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. Up until that point, Lando Norris was actually having a fairly good race, I seem to remember. Yeah. Obviously, you know, that was sort of came in with a you know, the less said about the off-track antics, the better. Mostly because I don't want to talk about James Corden.
Oh, don't you mentioned his name?
I've done it. If I say yeah, but if we say it anymore, if right, no one say it anymore because otherwise, if we say it two more times, he'll appear. No one wants that.
There was rumor that he was going to be the next Doctor Who, so at least that's being confirmed he's not, but
yes
of course. But up until that point there was sort of a real swagger to Lando Norris coming into Miami. It looked like he was very, you know, he's really enjoying himself, Carl, and it sort of taken out his race a little bit. I think, where did he start on the grid? Yeah, started eighth on the grid, which was, you know, a good place to start, and didn't have too many issues during the race, and looked like he was making his way up front, and then obviously he's had that happen. But up until that point, I think, would you sort of rate his performance?
And he had quite good practices as well. FP2, he was third, was it, if I remember correctly? I think Lando's a really good. Obviously, we're all closet McLaren fans in here, I think. I know James is, and I know I am. I think Owain is slightly as well. I don't know what Warren's view of McLaren is. But, Lando's one of the future. It still is. He's a solid pair of hands. He's wiping the floor of his teammate, let's be honest. Yeah, it's unfortunate, and I do feel sorry for him, but it's an unfortunate thing that it had to happen to someone. I'm sorry it happened to Lando of all the people, but you know, that crash was inevitable, or something was inevitable on that track. Because now you do have Mercedes fighting for five and six now, and third in the constructors, I think that is going to push McLaren down into the fourth, into sixth, seventh and eighth, fighting for fifth and sixth. I think there is sort of a three-horse race, but I think Mercedes is going to pick up, which means that Lando is going to have a real battle now to be seen as being anything good than a midfield player. He might get lucky, which he has done previously with the podiums. But I think this race he was steady, and it's unfortunate it was Lando. I'm scattered.
Yeah, me too. Were you expecting more flat? I was actually expecting a lot more safety cars. You know, going into this, I was thinking,
do you know what? I think we all cursed it because we're like, oh, there'd be hundreds of safety cars and yellows and everything. And there'd be like three reds and then there was nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you only have to watch the first W Series race, and they had 9 minutes of actual racing in a 30-minute race. So,
oh, really?
I only watched the first one. I haven't watched the second one yet, so that's on my list to watch.
But then the thing that made me think maybe not was that quali was very clean as well. So I did think maybe this track is a safer track, or not easier track being the right, but a more cautious track that they're on.
Maybe there just isn't enough. There aren't enough overtaking spaces for them to be put into trouble, really.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about a bit more about the track, but just to round everything out, we'll go with Zhou Guanyu, who was having a fairly decent weekend up until obviously his engine went bang or something like that. It doesn't really.
Yeah, we don't. Really, do we know what happened to him?
Not as far as I'm aware. I don't really know. Should I Twitter it?
What happened?
Yeah, I don't think there was nothing called during the race itself. It was just Joe, we need you to come in and retire the car. That was unfortunately the call that he got. Obviously disappointed.
I think he's a great talent, and I think he's going to give Gasly a run for his Bottas. I'd be a good support to Bottas this year. I'll go through the right team soon. I think it'd be a good support to Bottas this year. And I think he's a good rookie. You know, he will be whatever happens to be rookie of the year. But I think had he been fighting against Mazepin and Mick last year, he still would have been rookie of the year.
Well, I'm still going to put Piastri as rookie of the year because I've got hopes in him getting that Williams seat. I really think it will happen.
Mid-season?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I honestly think it will happen. I just. I just can't see Williams. Yeah, obviously, well, Owain's looking for the technical issue.
According to the team, it is just a technical issue. I assume there's more out there, but I'm currently...
We'll go with technical issue, yeah.
Yeah.
Peugeot.
Yeah, unfortunate for him. Now back to the sort of back to the circuit. Is there anything like what? I'll go around, but what would you change about that circuit if just to make it a little bit more racy? I guess, James.
I'd give it more width in many places. I'd get rid of that absolutely god awful fake marina. That just doesn't even make sense as a fake marina. Like, it's a pool with boats in.
It's not a pool. It's not even a pool. It's a pool. It's a fake pool.
Like,
it's a fake pool. It's not even filled with water.
I'm a fan of the marina.
You're a fan of the marina.
Right.
It's Miami. It's like it's the most Miami thing ever. Like, the thing about this race is that
bloody car park down in the back of you know, some random part of Miami that no one really knows.
They're trying to get the flavor of Miami. Like, this is what they want. Miami's a fake city. Like, it's fake. There's a lot of fake people that live there. So why not have a fake marina in there if it's perfect?
Like, why not fill it with water?
I'm just trying to.
What I don't understand is
because I think they
go on water, not on pieces of fabric that look like water. This probably cost more than to fill the water. Like, I don't get it.
I saw the guy that the CEO or whoever was in charge of it said they. At first, they were worried that there was like a leak or something, that the water would like run out on the track or whatever, and they didn't want to have to worry about that. If
they were worried the marina was going to spring a leak. Brilliant.
Then don't put a bloody fake marina.
That's what he said. And he's safe.
I mean, there was enough swimming pools with mermaids in, so that blew my mind as well.
It wasn't like a fever dream, and look, you know, the whole weekend. There were just crazy things going on all over the place.
I mean, let's be honest, the drive for Verstappen's drive to the podium, and then what really confused me is they did the drive and then suddenly Leclerc and Sainz were there. I was like, oh, so there's a shortcut then.
Yeah.
Because they've gone around he's gone around the building and under it for some reason, and somehow they're all in the cool down room. I was like, this is
bonkers. Then they came out onto the podium with Miami Dolphins helmets on or whatever,
which they instantly took off and lobbed off.
Like, oh, come on.
I'm sorry, Warren, but America's very gimmicky, isn't it? Or Miami. Oh, 100%.
Miami's and look, as I said earlier, America, we're all about brands. We could sell anything. Yeah, it's all about brands. But Miami, very, very gimmicky. When they came out with the Pirelli helmets, I fell off the chair. I was laughing so hard as just like, what a bit this is. Yeah, no, everything's gimmicky about the whole thing. Like, the fake marina, everything's a gimmick. And look, I don't know. I think you're going to get like a lot of people, like, you just kind of, hey, it is what it is. You just got to accept it.
Sorry, back to your question, Owain. Sorry, we keep diverting. Back to your question of the track.
Great. I can't wait for this to be clipped into YouTube shorts. It's going to be amazing.
back to your chat there. That track, get rid of the Baku section, you know, or whatever you want to nickname it.
Oh, yeah. The
wiggly wobbly chicane or whatever, you know. I'm surprised they didn't name every corner after a brand. I've just suddenly thought, as the branding capital, why have we just got corners 1, 2, and 3? Why they should have been named?
This is an excellent point. Even that would have been better.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the whole of Silverstone's named. I'm surprised they didn't name every corner around Miami. Anyway, especially as there's so many bloody corners on it. I think if you got rid of that section, that would help as well. And obviously, from a branding and things, they need to rethink about how they use the actual stadium rather than the catering.
Yes.
And an old tennis thing that they couldn't get rid of quick enough.
Should have gone through. Why didn't they go into the stadium? Why didn't they take the inspiration?
Well, I think this is the idea. Yeah. I think
You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't.
No, there was two things. Ted Kravitz said it's not wide enough. The doors aren't wide enough to go through the stadium, so you can't do Mexico sort of through that sort of thing. That's one. And the stadium they're looking at next year doing the trophy ceremony, the podium in the stadium, and doing the opening ceremony in another gimmick, the opening ceremony in the stadium as well, and not just using it as a catering base, which was a bit weird. And it was a bit like, and I think the reason they had it was they had the Miami Tennis there, and that's what's actually in the middle of it, and they couldn't take that down in time.
Right.
So, but use the stadium more and think about it more. I mean,
like, I don't, the only way to do the stadium, as you said, is for the trophy or for the podium. Sorry. Like, there's no way those cars could drive through there. I've been in some like NFL stadiums and stadiums like that. They could fit some buses in there, like where the teams come in or anything, but there's no way they could have an F1 car drive would. That's possible.
It's a shame because, you know, you've set this whole track around this big structure, and then you don't utilize it at all, and it's almost like this. Oh, we're on the A's, and also the fact that the finish line and the podium were on separate sides. It was all a bit strange and just seems to be time wasting.
Well, like, took 25 minutes to
put the podium in front of the Dan Marino statue.
Yeah,
like, just. Hey, yeah, which, that to me was just
which a lot of that anyone in the rest of the world has no idea who this lad is and why there's a random statue, you know,
unless you've watched Ace Ventura.
Yeah, unless you watch Ace Ventura.
And the thing is, look, he's a great quarterback.
Yeah,
no, he got the trophy. Look, he's a great quarterback, but he never won a Super Bowl. The Dolphins haven't won a Super Bowl since 1972. It's not like he's. What they say about Dan Marino, he's like the greatest quarterback to never win a Super Bowl. That's not something you want to have hanging over your head. And they got a statue.
Or in front of the world's media looking at a podium. But yeah, you know.
Going to steer it back to Formula One.
Sorry, yes.
Can I ask you guys something? What do you think about the whole Americanization? Or is this too – have you guys have probably talked about it. But what do you think about – how things are, like, obviously this is a big show for America. What are your thoughts on this? Are you pleased with it? Are you, again, what are your thoughts against it?
I'm happy to have some Americanization. I'm all for, you know, spreading the kind of the whole cheesiness that kind of it can bring. But what I don't like is the impact it's had on the things like Drive to Survive. Obviously these are the things that you know, it's brought a lot of people into the sport, so we can't really complain too much because it's.
I think it's a good thing, you know. I think every country has to claim its section and its style and everything. My only thing is, it shouldn't affect the final product of the race. Yes, I'll deal with the gimmicks of the stupid marinas and things, but if the track is useless and we're not getting the racing, then it's pointless being there. You know, and that's the only thing.
Do you think this track will last the 10 years? Because I really cannot see this track staying.
This track's changing next year, surely.
Yeah, I
think it's going to change next year. I think they're ready to make some changes.
They've got to, because it wasn't an exciting race without the incident.
I think the track changes are only the only issue. I think this is the maximum that we can sort of go to on the whole sort of gimmicky nature. I'm all for high production value. If anything, I think there's a certain level of authenticity into it, but at the moment it starts to dilute the racing. Is the point where we go, well, hold on.
I think you're right. I mean, absolutely. You know, as long as we get the racing there, I think everyone will buy into the gimmicks and the Americanization of everything. But this isn't an IndyCar track, and I think you could actually throw an IndyCar. Actually, that is an IndyCar track, is what they've just built. You know, it'd be quite a good IndyCar because they're smaller, and it would be
lighter.
Yeah, and lighter. It would have been more of an interesting IndyCar track, that one. And I think they need to expand, but I don't know how much room they've got to try and do anything. It does, everything feels very tight in there. Certain sections.
Yeah, just needs a tweak, and it might be a bit sort of more towards what we want. I'm just going to move it back to driver of the day, just to round things out. Who, Carl, was your driver of the day?
I mean, to be honest, there's no one else but Verstappen in my mind. I think I'm not a major Verstappen fan. My son is, God, he's 5, and that's the only racer he knows, like Max Verstappen, driving the Red Bulls. I'm trying to push him over to Lando, but I think it was a solid drive, and he dealt with Leclerc very well and in a good manner and a very fair racing, and was there and won it rightly. I think he really was the driver of the day.
And I concur with Carl. I can't see anyone else that was performing to his level. I mean, Leclerc did have a few moments where he did well, but at the end of the day, he did lose the position to Max Verstappen. So it's very difficult to give it to anyone other than Max today.
Warren, who's your driver of the day?
I was gonna give an honorable mention to Latifi just for finishing, like a little second place position trophy. But no, I think it's Max. He, as you said, he covered up every challenge pretty much, and even when things potentially could get a little spicy there at the end, he didn't make any mistakes.
Mm.
Yeah. As much as I agree with you guys, just for the sake of variety, I'm going to go with Esteban Ocon, because I think being able to go from last on the grid to 8th place for Alpine is pretty remarkable. And he's my driver of the day because of that. that's it. It's just for variety.
I'm not sure how he got there, but
I don't
know.
I mean, does the team care how he got there? Like, they only care about those, 4 points?
Yeah.
Well, for variety, then I'm going to say Russell, just because, he beat his teammate from a position that was further down the grid.
Yeah.
Was a bit lucky, but, he has to put himself in the position of that luck.
Absolutely.
But don't worry, it's a team race for the Mercedes, and it's all about getting the team across. It's not about winning individually anymore.
At the moment, until Hamilton actually gets a handle of that car, then it's
then he'll go back to
his car is undrivable, Russell. Oh yeah, I can get him 5th. I can get him 4th.
Don't worry about my 4s and things. We're grand. Don't worry about the fact that I've got scored points in every single race I've been in, and I'm the only one to do that. He's the only one to be in every single race and win points. Isn't it?
6th or higher every race.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Which in a
and to complete in every race and get points as well.
Yeah.
So
which in a Mercedes that is bad.
Well, is it then? Is it undrivable? Is it unreliable?
Hampered is what I'll say.
hampered by Hamilton, yes.
Just before we wrap up, obviously, thank you guys for coming on at what is
20-1.
20-1 on a Sunday night.
Monday morning.
Monday morning. So I know I haven't been to sleep yet. It's a Sunday night. just thank you guys for coming on at a god awful hour. Obviously, I know Warren, it's different for you, but Carl, where can we find you? Where can we find your stuff?
We are Monkey Seat Podcast at Monkey Seat Pod as our sort of group one. You can find us on all the usual channels and everything. And I am _ Skycloth, my own personal Twitter, which I very rarely use, but it is there. Myself and Tom will be doing a messy podcast in the next couple of days talking about this, which will probably be more raucous, as raucous as sections of tonight was.
Yeah, I think I've lowered the standard coming on today.
James, I've lowered it as well, mate. Don't worry, I'm there with you. Poor Warren.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Warren. It's normally a bit more structured than this, but it's
what
I'm tired.
No, that's fine. I like this.
And the only people who can have a go at me are asleep. so Warren, where can we find your podcast? What do you guys do?
We're on Apple. We're on Apple, Spotify, all the main ones. It's called Paddock. But my cousin and I do it. Let me tell you, she was on yesterday for the qualifying. She likes sports, but I've never seen her get into a sport like she's got an F1. So we do it. And then we're on Twitter at Paddock Pals as well. I think we're recording. It's only 6:40 here. I'm at my parents' house. It's Mother's Day in the States, so I got to have Mother's Day dinner here in a little bit. I'm at my parents' house right now. So that we'll record and do a little Miami stuff. And we'll talk about the celebs and all the stuff that – all the off-track stuff. We've got that covered. We like that stuff. We'll talk on track, but off track we're there. So pretty much just Paddock Pals on Twitter and wherever you get your podcast at.
Awesome. And James, where can we find you?
Well, I am James Tiller from the Everything F1 podcast. You can find us on all podcast streaming networks on services or whatever it is you call them. Everything F1 podcast, quite simple to find. We're also on loads of social medias. We're on Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube. We're all over the place, and you can find us also on our website, www.everythingf1.com. Now, we are the official midweek podcast, so we don't take anything away from you guys at Grid Talk, because you're fantastic for the weekend immediate responses and results from the race and reviews, whereas we want you to be coming over to us in the middle of the week, where we give you kind of a breakdown of what happened over the whole weekend. So we'd love to get all of your fans over to us, because we know you've got some fantastic fans there as well. See you there.
We'd absolutely love to send them. Thank you guys all for coming on.
And we've got Sabre Cook coming on this week. Sabre Cook, the unfortunate not W Series racer this year, but she has previously been.
Nice.
That's excellent.
Nice. Cool.
And if you want to know what I do, unfortunately, I haven't had the chance this year, but I do the lighter look at the weekend's antics, not this weekend, because it is disgustingly late and it's meant to go up on a 9 a.m. on a Monday morning. But I do get the meme reviews I started out last year as a way to sort of have a less toxic view at what was going on over the weekend. But if you want to have a read of those, there's some for last weekend, last year, over on sportlightpro.com. And that's where you find those. Now, Grid Talk is available on YouTube, where most episodes are recorded live, like this one, as you can see, as well as Amazon Fire, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Music, Verbal, Omni Studio, and Pocket Casts. Just search Formula One Grid Talk for our back catalogue of shows with previews and reactions to qualifying and race results. Please consider supporting the channel on Patreon so we can get mics, lights, and better recording equipment for our presenters. And you can get your hands on some official Grid Talk merchandise at www.f1chronicle.com/store. Also make sure you subscribe to make sure you're the first to know when each new weekly episode is released, and we will be back pretty soon with plenty more F1 content. Thank you very much for listening to this slightly messy, slightly off the rails Grid Talk podcast,
but fun.
We made it like the F1, we made it like the Miami Grand Prix. Started out great and started out nice and structured, and then got completely mental towards the end. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.